Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 66 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
The most important thing for health is remaining active. This would be an opportunity for everybody to do something.
The Daniel Boone Rails to Trails group will hold a meeting Wednesday to share information about the Triplet Valley Trail Project.
Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell says he will work to iron out kinks in hemp legislation.
A man falsely accused of trying to kidnap a child has returned to Egypt.
A Scott County teen is facing murder charges.
Police are investigating a robbery at a credit union in Ashland.
In sports, the All-A Classic begins tonight, and several games are scheduled in the 16th region.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 30% chance of showers tonight with a low around 56 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The Daniel Boone Rails to Trails organization will discuss phase one of the Triplet Valley Trail project during a meeting scheduled for Wednesday. During the meeting, the first phase will be discussed and work groups will be assigned. Dr. Scott Davidson is the president of the Daniel Boone Rails to Trails. He believes the project will not only improve the health of the community, but also the accessibility of downtown.
It's really accessible, and I think it's going to change the whole flow of downtown. People could walk from downtown to Fazoli's now along the trail and walk back. They could meet on the trail. I think people will do things socially on the trail. It's a place for people to be. There will be benches where they can socialize.
Phase one of the Triplet Valley Trail would transform the abandoned rail bed that run along Route 60 from the city park to the plaza on Stone Street into walking trails. For more information on the project, contact the organization by emailing dbrtinfo@yahoo.com.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he's willing to offer follow-up legislation if necessary to resolve any glitches as hemp starts becoming a legal agricultural commodity. WSAZ reports the Kentucky Republican said Monday that will include safeguarding hemp shipments stopped by police who can't tell whether they intercepted a legal crop or its illicit cousin, marijuana. The only way to distinguish hemp and marijuana is by measuring their THC, and officers aren't equipped with the testing technology to do so on the spot. McConnell spoke at a hemp forum in Kentucky. U.S. Department of Agriculture Undersecretary Greg Ibach, who attended the conference, said USDA has reached out to drug enforcement officials to seek a coordinated effort on the interstate shipment of hemp.
Kentucky Democratic candidate Adam Edelin is offering a plan to decriminalize marijuana for personal use. WMKY's Grant Johnson has the story.
Edelin's plan stops short of fully legalizing marijuana, but decriminalizes the possession of small amounts for recreational use. According to Lex 18, under his proposal, people could face civil fines but not be charged with a crime for possessing small amounts of marijuana for personal use. Edelin says more than 11,000 Kentuckians were convicted of marijuana possession last year, taking a toll on families and consuming considerable amount of law enforcement resources. Edelin is among four Democrats running for the Kentucky governor this year. He faces Representative Rocky Adams, Attorney General Andy Beshear, and frequent candidate Jeff Young. Republican Governor Matt Bevin is seeking another term. His GOP challengers are State Representative Robert Goforth, William Woods, and Ike Lawrence. Kentucky primary election takes place on May 21st. For WMKY News, I'm Grant Johnson.
Kentucky Congressman Andy Barr says he hopes to bring New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to the state sometime in the next 6 months. Barr and Ocasio-Cortez have sparred over the latter's Green New Deal, a proposal to roll back fossil fuel use and transition to renewable energy. In March, Barr invited the New York representative to visit struggling coal communities in the Commonwealth, and she accepted.
I'd be happy to go to Kentucky. Good. And I'd also like to note that in the Green New Deal, one of the things that I advocate for is fully funding the pensions of coal miners in West Virginia and throughout Appalachia, because we want a just transition to make sure that we're investing in jobs across those swaths of the country.
Barr told C-SPAN this week that he hopes to change Ocasio-Cortez's thinking on the effects her reforms might cause.
I want her to come to Kentucky, learn more about the fossil energy industry, some of the innovative things that they're doing to actually provide a carbon capture and better ways through technology and innovation of clean burning, burning fossil energy in a more clean way.
Barr said the government's goal should not be promoting green energy, but instead the most abundant, affordable, reliable energy while investing in innovation.
First District Kentucky Congressman James Comer says every high-level politician should release his or her tax returns. But the Republican legislator said President Donald Trump isn't breaking the law by not releasing his. WUKY's Josh James has more.
Comer is no stranger to the tax return issue, offering to release his during the 2015 Republican gubernatorial primary and later questioning why political rival Governor Matt Bevin hadn't followed suit. Comer told Roll Call in 2017 that the public has a right to know how much money candidates for our highest political offices make and where it comes from. Asked this week about House efforts to get at President Donald Trump's returns, the congressman reiterated his support for disclosure, but turned his fire on Democrats.
If it were the law, I'm confident that President Trump would do that. So President Trump's not breaking the law. The Democrats are still reeling over the disappointment from the Mueller report, and now they've turned their attention to his business in the past.
And despite New York Times reporting that members of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigative team have told associates that Attorney General William Barr did not accurately convey elements of the council's long-awaited report, Comer says he still believes the results were a, quote, big win for the president. He said he remains confident in Barr. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
A man is back home in Egypt after investigators say he was falsely accused of a crime, arrested, and released from jail in Cabell County, West Virginia. Mohammed Zayan was accused of attempting to abduct a child in a Barbersville mall. The mother told police Zayan tried to kidnap her 5-year-old daughter inside Old Navy. That woman, Santana Adams, later changed her story, calling it a cultural misunderstanding. Police arrested Adams and charged her with falsely reporting an emergency. She faces up to a $500 fine and 6 months in jail. Zayan's lawyer released a photo to WSAZ of her client traveling back home on Sunday evening. She says a Barbersville police officer accompanied him to the airport to ensure everything went smoothly.
Needles left in public areas are not a common problem, but law enforcement officers say people should be vigilant when in public places. Although officials discourage people from touching used needles, they can be safely picked up and placed in a plastic bottle. Perry County Sheriff Joe Engel is one of many officers who patrol parks in the mornings to search for any needles left overnight.
We don't find a lot. We don't have reports of a lot showing up in parks. It's just something really that's kind of like that you just need to be aware of.
Engel says if residents see a needle in a public area like a park, the easiest thing to do is call 911.
A Scott County teen was charged on Sunday for the murder of a 47-year-old man named Michael Smith. Officials say the 17-year-old got into an argument with Smith and shot him. The teen, whose name has not been released, is facing charges of murder, wanton endangerment, and a minor in possession of a firearm. Family member Bridget Lancaster tells WKYT dealing with the death is hard to handle.
And I just wish this nightmare would be over. I just wish somebody would just tell me I'm having a bad dream.
Smith's body has been transferred to the Kentucky State Medical Examiner's Office for an autopsy.
A man is behind bars after attempting to have sex with a high school student. WKYT reports 35-year-old Torstein Torstensson messaged an underage girl for sex on Facebook in 2018. This failed, so he started a relationship with Estill County High School teacher Sherry Murphy. Murphy was aware of the situation, and troopers say she helped Torstensson try to cover up the messages. Superintendent Jeff Salyer says in this situation, the community should come forward.
The sad part about it is that when something like this occurs, or something like this is occurring, We don't know if somebody doesn't report it.
Murphy resigned from the school and is under house arrest. Torstenson is set to face a judge later this month.
Brian Reaney, an Ohio man accused of impersonating a missing Illinois child, Timothy Pitson, is in the Hamilton County, Ohio jail on an FBI detainer. Pitson has been missing for nearly 8 years after his mother committed suicide, leaving a note saying her son was safe, but no one would ever find him. Reaney reportedly told police he was the missing boy after being found wandering around Newport, Kentucky last week. A DNA test proved that he was not the missing boy. Kara Jacobs is a member of Pitson's family. She tells Fox 19 News the family will never stop looking for Timothy.
We hope that everyone will join us in praying for the young man who claimed to be Timothy Pitson. There is far too many lost children in desperate need of help. We hope our tragedy will help to shed some light on the horrific problems of suicide and missing children in our country.
Authorities have not yet said what federal charges Reaney will be facing.
A Wayland man is being charged with murder. Authorities arrested 44-year-old Wesley Martin on Friday and charged him in connection with the death of 26-year-old Jordan Tackett. Kentucky State Police tell EKB-TV Tackett's body was found last week in a shallow grave outside a home in the Wayland community. Tackett had been missing since February. Martin is lodged in the Floyd County Detention Center on a $2 million bond. He is also charged with possession of a firearm by a convicted felon and defacing a firearm. He will have a preliminary hearing on April 15th in Floyd County District Court. A funeral will be held for Tackett today at 1 p.m. at the Hall Funeral Home Chapel in Martin.
Police are investigating a robbery at the Bluegrass Community Federal Credit Union in Ashland. A post on the Ashland Police Department's Facebook page indicates authorities responded to the credit union after receiving a report of a robbery, but the amount of money stolen has not yet been released. Major Ryan Conley of the Ashland Police Department tells the Daily Independent the full description of the suspect has not been released, but victims of the robbery were able to identify him as a male. Connolly says police are now seeking a person of interest and are asking for the public's assistance in the investigation. Individuals with information on the incident are asked to contact APD by emailing silentwitness@ashlandkypd.com.
Eastern Kentuckians affected by flooding and mudslides in February have a new option for assistance. WMKY's Cassidy Stearman has more.
The U.S. Small Business Administration is helping Kentucky businesses and residents affected by the storms with small, low-interest disaster loans. The loans are meant for the people affected by the flooding and severe storms that had occurred February 6th through March 10th. The areas able to receive the loans include Johnson, McGoffin, Breathitt, Floyd, Knott, Lawrence, Martin, Morgan, and Wolfe County. Disaster loan outreach centers are located at the Johnson County Fiscal Court in Paintsville and the McGoffin County Health Department in Sailorsville. Hours of operation are 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. each day. The center will close at 4:30 p.m. on Friday. For WMKY News, I'm Cassidy Stearman.
Taking a look at the weather tonight, a 30% chance of showers, mainly before 9 p.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a low around 56. Tuesday, patchy fog before 8 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 72 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly clear with a low around 43. On Wednesday, sunny with a high near 65. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 48. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 78. And Thursday night, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight, mostly cloudy with a low around 56. Taking a look at the listening area temperatures, in Flemingsburg, it's 65. Maysville, 67. In Ashland and Grayson, it's 66. Inez, 64. Mount Sterling, 65. In Lexington, it's 66. And in Moorhead, it's currently 66 degrees.
On our feature segment today, Moorhead State University will be screening two films that will examine how others look at the people of Eastern Kentucky, often described as hillbillies. WMKY's Naya Andweza has more.
On Tuesday, April 9th, MSU will host a screening of Stranger with a Camera in Hillbilly in the Adrian Dorn University Center Theater. Ashley York, co-director of Hillbilly and lecturer at the University of Southern California School of Cinematic Arts, gives some insight into the film.
Well, Hillbilly is a documentary film that examines media representations of Appalachia and the people who live there. And it looks at a wide range of media, ranging from news coverage to films to television programs to literature over a 100-year period.
A panel discussion will be held after the viewing to examine the current and historical image of Appalachia in media and culture. York says there is a need to voice what people believe Appalachia is, as well as to shine a light on the people who live there.
I spent a lot of time going through so many examples over so many decades that are just so upsetting and harmful and hateful. And at a certain point, we realized, oh, what if we focus on what Appalachia is as opposed to what it's not? So that's when we started to bring in all of these incredible people who you see featured in the film.
The film is through the perspective of many artists, thinkers, and scholars who project the region and the people within it in a unique way. The film features Bell Hooks, Ronnie Cox, and Billy Redden, from Deliverance, director Michael Apt, activists and writers Frank X. Walker, Crystal Good, and Silas House, and musicians Sam Gleaves and Amethyst Kaya.
You know, so we really wanted to elevate the voices of people who you don't often hear from when you think about Appalachia or when you see stories about Appalachia. And that leads the film to a place of being incredibly vibrant and compelling and surprising and just a real gift for an audience.
York says the media is a powerful tool and can influence how a person views themselves and the world. As a professor, media practitioner, and filmmaker, York is moved by the impact of media, which keeps her engaged in her work.
You know, there are so many spaces in media that we can work to tell stories and to explore the human condition. And you're right, like, it is powerful media, and we, you know, really wanted to investigate that and interrogate that and also subvert that, you know, and to bring new voice to the region.
Stranger with a Camera will show at 4:30 p.m., followed by the panel discussion at 5:30 p.m., and Hillbilly will show at 6:30 p.m. The film will be followed by a question and answer session. Hillbilly was awarded the Documentary Award from the L.A. Film Festival in 2018, the Special Award for Documentary Filmmaking by the Transverse City Film Festival, and the Jack Spadaro Documentary Award from the Appalachian Studies Association. For WMKY News, I'm Naya Endweza.
It's 448 and 66 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this Monday afternoon. Cody Robinson has sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Bypass Pond, 897 Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Bypass Pond buys, sells, trades, and loans almost anything of value. Cash for gold, silver, jewelry, and diamonds. Tools, video games, televisions, computers, hunting supplies, music gear, and guitars. Bypass Pond is open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday, noon to 5 on Sundays. 897 Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Phone number is 780-7296. Facebook and online, bypasspond.com.
The All-A Classic begins tonight in the 16th region. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Cody Robinson. The 16th Regional All-A Classic begins tonight for both softball and baseball. Taking a look at regional softball action outside the tournament, Russell travels to Ashland Blazer, and Wes Carter hosts Boyd County. In 16th Regional All-A Classic action, Bath County meets Menifee, and Raceland will face off with Elliott County. All those games are slated to begin tonight at 6 p.m. In baseball All-A action tonight, Raceland will face Bath County, Rose Hill Christian meets Elliott County, and West Carter meets Menifee. Outside the tournament, Russell travels to Boyd County, Ashland Blazer hosts Lawrence County, and East Carter hosts McGoffin County. First pitch for All-A tonight's games is set for 6 p.m. The Rowan County softball team has some good momentum going into midseason play. The Vikings are coming off of three weekend wins at Where's the Beach Classic at Rockcastle County over the weekend. The team stands at 7-3 on the season. Head coach Larry Sloan says his team fought hard in weekend play.
Yeah, I think we come out of the weekend where we played well, won three games that were 50-50 games, and we took care of business in them, and that was real good on their part.
Tonight's matchup with Montgomery County has been postponed. Sloan says they hope to play on Wednesday. Otherwise, Rowan heads to the Tri-State Showcase this weekend at Russell. The Morehead State Baseball Eagles are gearing up to host Alabama A&M Tuesday and Wednesday in Morehead. The 21-11 Eagles are coming off a three-game sweep over SIU Edwardsville over the weekend. Head coach Mike McGuire says the wins were more than home field advantage.
Played real well in three phases. Got really good starting pitching on Friday from Dalton Stanball. You know, one of his best starts of the year. And it was good to see the bats going. We struggled getting the big two-out hit on the road last week. And it was good to get those two-out hits that are backbreakers for the other team. We got a bunch of those all weekend long.
In addition to crossing the 20-win plateau on the 2019 campaign, Saturday's first victory also marks McGuire's 350th collegiate win for his career. Games with Alabama A&M will be played at 11 a.m. on Tuesday and Wednesday. You can listen live at msueagles.com. The Morehead State University beach volleyball team moved to 13-6 on the season with two wins this weekend. The Eagles traveled to the Palmetto State to compete at the Conway Classic hosted by Coastal Carolina. Associate head coach Kirsten Becker said going into the matchup, the team was looking forward to seeing tough competition.
I think there's a little bit more rivalry probably behind that game than Coastal Carolina, but Jacksonville State should be another good one. They're in a similar situation where they have some beach-only players as well, and that can make a big difference.
The Eagles have most of the week off. They travel to Florence, Alabama on Saturday for a Sun Conference matchup with North Alabama. The Cincinnati Reds have the day off after an interesting end to their series with the Pirates yesterday. There were five ejections during the game after a scuffle broke out between the teams. Tension started to rise in the fourth when Pirates starter Chris Archer threw his first pitch behind the waist of Derek Dietrich, striking him with the ball. Reds manager David Bell spoke with the Reds.com about the incident. He says it's always ideal to stay calm during a game, but he understands why his guys got upset.
We concern ourselves with our team, and other teams need to concern themselves with how their team plays. It's that simple. They don't need to worry about how we go about it. I really don't know what was going on out there. I'd have to watch the video, but no, I'm not. I think everyone was rightfully upset that one of our players was intentionally thrown out.
First pitch against the Marlins tomorrow is set for 6:40 at Great American Ballpark. The field for the 145th Kentucky Derby is taking shape with the running of three major preps this weekend. Vekoma punched his ticket to Louisville with a win in the Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland. He's trained by George Weaver. He says he's a little worried about the horse since he really doesn't have a ton of racing experience.
I would prefer to have more races under his belt, but it doesn't surprise me he won the Bluegrass with just three races under his belt just because he's just been such an athlete. He really has. I haven't had a cold leg in the whole time I've been on my own.
Trainer Bob Bayford and jockey Mike Smith teamed up to win the Santa Anita Derby with Roadster. Another Baffert-trained colt, juvenile champion game winner, finished second. Tacitus won the Wood Memorial in New York. Trained by Bill Mott, Tacitus sits atop the Kentucky Derby points leaderboard. The Arkansas Derby will be run next weekend. The run for the Roses is May 4th. And finally in sports this afternoon, a young coach from Michigan is accused of assaulting a referee during a game in McCracken County. The sheriff's office said the assault happened Saturday at the Sportsplex. The incident began with a disagreement. As the referee walked away, he was punched by the coach and became unconscious, according to police. The coach, later identified as Kenyon Minifield, then fled the area and was later arrested at a local hotel. Minifield is charged with assaulting a sports official, which is a misdemeanor. And that's your look at sports. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Cody Robinson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at MSUEagles.com. Baseball hosts Alabama A&M tomorrow and Wednesday. Games begin at 11 a.m. Softball hosts Eastern Illinois on Saturday and SIU Edwardsville on Sunday. More information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at MSUEagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons, Robert Baird Company. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell as Wall Street digested strong gains from the previous week and looked ahead to the start of the corporate earnings season. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 83.97 at 26,341.02. A lot of that loss was due to Boeing, which took a very big hit today and is a large part of the Dow average. The broader market was stronger, with the S&P 500 up 3.03 at 2895.77, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 15.19 at 7953.88. Shares of Boeing and GE led the decline today, with Boeing dropping more than 4% after Bank of America cut its rating on the stock to neutral from buy. And the analyst there said that it expects production of the 737 MAX jet to be delayed by 6 to 9 months. And, of course, this follows a deadly plane crash from last month that involved a 737 MAX plane. GE, meanwhile, fell more than 5% after an analyst downgrade on the stock. This same analyst said that he believes many investors are underestimating the severity of the challenges and underlying risks at GE while overestimating the value of small positives. On the data front, factory orders for February fell 0.5% amid weakness in the machinery, transportation equipment, and electronic product segments. Shipments did rise 0.4%. Treasury yields climbed on this data, with the 10-year Treasury rate finishing around 2.51% and the 30-year yield trading at 2.93%. Snap shares rose more than 3% after an analyst upgrade. Snap is a prominent social media company, and the analyst said that the company does have the potential for a positive inflection point, catalyzing the stock. In the commodities markets, oil is up 2.2% at $64.45 a barrel. Gold was up 0.5% at $1,302.20 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were down slightly, with the Stock 600 index down 0.2%. In Asia, stocks were mixed, with the Nikkei down 0.2%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.5%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Apple and Procter & Gamble, while the worst performers were Boeing and Nike. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Symantec and Freeport-McMoRan, while the worst performers were GE and Boeing. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Delta down 2 cents at $57.71, Kroger down 5 cents at $23.85, Marathon Petroleum down 10 cents at $63.37, CVS up 9 cents at $54.15, Valvoline down 11 cents at $18.84, and Toyota was down 32 cents to finish at $122.22. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Round County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, video tapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boy, Joe Lewis, Logan Pemberton, Grant Johnson, Jacob Lindberg, Brian Courtney, Tandy Wallingford, Cassidy Stearman, Keneally Roberts, Cody Robinson, Jack Cottle, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Naya Endueza. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.